We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
What's up?
So, things may be in motion.
As in, is anyone going to jail?
No. No. So, do you want to come with me?
Can I ask for a little more information?
No. Don't think so. I might need you as my attack dog.
Right.
Like a Greg Weiler.
Tom's attack dog. Nice. I mean, I'm kind of a big deal, so.
You f*** yourself before Congress.
That's your opinion.
I don't recall, Your Honor. I don't recall. You're a f*** joke, man.
Who has ever looked after you in this family, huh?
All right, well, in terms of where I could be getting to if I were to come with?
You could be heading away from the endless middle and towards the bottom of the top.
The bottom of the top?
Listen, I have things to do. Do you want a deal with the devil?
Well, what am I going to do with a soul anyways? Souls are boring.
Boo, souls!
Of course. Okay.
All right.
Awful.
I tell you, gentlemen, there's no use arguing against facts. Our business is at a standstill, and we've got to do something about it.
You're right, Mr. Ixnay. Our munitions factories only show 5 million buckaroos profit for the first quarter of this year.
Think of it, Mr. Onay. Only 5 million while we're practically starving.
That's true, but we must remember that the kingdom of Moronica is at peace, Mr. Ixnay.
You're right, Mr. Amscray. But there's no money in peace.
No.
We must start a war.
The king wants only peace, then we must oust him and appoint a dictator.
That's it, a dictator.
Exactly. We must find someone who is stupid enough to do what we tell him.
But where could we find anyone that stupid, Mr. Onay?
I've got the very man, and he's in this house right now. His name is
Donald Trump.
I want you to meet Mr. Amscray, Mr. Onay.
How do you do?
We're not ordinary people. We're morons.
Shalom aleichem.
We've come here to offer you the greatest opportunity of your life. My partners and I are going to make you dictator of Moronica.
Dictator? What does a dictator do?
A dictator? Why, he makes love to beautiful women, drinks champagne, enjoys life, and never works. He makes speeches to the people, promising them plenty, gives them nothing, then takes everything. That's a dictator.
A parasite. That's for me.
Quiet. I must think. Quiet while I think.
I must think.
Let me see. Well, what about it? I like the job, all right, but I can't leave my two pals. You know, our motto has always been one for all and all for me.
Gentlemen, so as not to break up your little triumvirate, we're going to make this man field marshal and head of all our fighting forces.
Can I have a uniform and a real sword?
You could have 100 uniforms.
What's that?
It's a machine gun.
Let me see.
We'll make this man minister of propaganda.
Propaganda? What's that?
The media is really the word, I think one of the greatest of all terms I've come up with is fake. I guess other people have used it perhaps over the years, but I've never noticed it. And it's a shame.
We'll take the job. What do we do?
First, you start a beer putsch.
How?
You put your beer down and wait for the pretzels.
No. You go to the saloons and you buy free beer for all the saloonatics. That makes you dictator. Hail, hail!
Donald.
Drunf.
Donald.
Drunf.
The dictator! Hail, hail!
Donald.
Drunf.
Wahoo!
My good people of Moronica, I am very happy to see this little gathering. We must throw off the yoke of monarchy and make our country safe for hypocrisy. Our motto shall be Moronica for moron. We will have less work and more play. Every Thursday you will receive hamburger and eggs. Moronica must expand. We must extend our neighbors a helping hand. We will extend them two helping hands and help ourselves to our neighbors. Furthermore, I try 54 pence. Give me credit. Hop, carbon.
America. I don't know. When I arrived, there were these gentle giants smelling of gold and milk. They could do anything. Now look at them. Fat as fuck. Scrawny on meth or yoga. They pissed it all away. I don't know.
And let's see to pull a cut. 550 balls. Hop, hop on. I'm 550 by a seated. Brother, take a neck, try it. Hop, hop on. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Hallelujah. We will now pause for station identification. This is NUTS.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Moron. Moron who? More on that later.
Politics of 2021 started with violence, January 6th. Over 11 months later, we still don't know exactly what happened on that dark day, and thus far, the ringleaders have gotten off scot-free. That may be about to change thanks to the House Select Committee on January 6th. They are turning up the heat on administration officials involved in the planning of the insurrection, like former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Meadows originally agreed to cooperate with the committee before changing his mind. But when he was still cooperating, he gave the committee some pretty juicy details, like a PowerPoint document filled with extreme plans to overturn the 2020 election. PowerPoint? They weren't just trying to overturn democracy, they were trying to bore it to death. Reminds me of us bored to death. Reminds me of that famous quote from T.S. Eliot, "This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but with a star wipe." So what was in these slides of sedition? We're not exactly sure yet, but there is one deck that's been circulating that may be the deck in question. And one of the slides on that was a list of recommendations, including a plan to, quote, declare a national security emergency. I'm not sure exactly how you do that. I assume by breaking into every broadcast using the emergency bullshit system. They were also planning to declare electronic voting in all states invalid. Instead, they wanted to rely on, quote, legal and genuine paper ballot counts. Okay, so if you can't trust computers, how are you giving your presentation? Via PowerPoint Pigeon? They're staging a cuckoo. One of the... Put that up. Thought we... One of the biggest mysteries of January 6th is, where was the National Guard? Well, information the committee got from Meadows may shed some light on that, because on January 5th, he sent an email indicating that the National Guard was on standby to protect the rioters. The only way to really protect the MAGA mob would have been to go back in time and beg their fathers to hug them more. These details are just further proof that the right wing has completely gone bunkers nutso.
What do you mean by reading a book? Suppose you learn something. Loyal Moronicans shouldn't read. Take your troops out and have them burn every book in Moronica.
Take Mussolini away in a van to the hospital. Take over the radio stations.
There are shocking new details in the investigation of the January 6th insurrection. It's important to remember January 6th and to document each time new details emerge, which incredibly continues to happen. With each piece of new information being more insane than the last. I don't know how it's possible. It's like Succession. Just when you think it's getting repetitive, they find a new way to shock you. And the point is, it is now beyond doubt, if there is any to begin with, that Trump and his gang tried to stage a coup to overturn a presidential election. They came incredibly close to pulling it off, and it's very likely they'll try again. In fact, we know Trump would like to try it again because he keeps talking about it, as he did over the weekend at a so-called history tour with disgraced former Fox News host Bill O'Reilly.
Mike. Had he had the courage to do what Thomas Jefferson did, but a minor version. You know, Thomas Jefferson, he kept Georgia. You know that? He didn't send it back. There was a dispute. Hear ye, the great state of Georgia is unable to properly calculate its votes. Thomas Jefferson was sitting where I was, right where Mike, you know what he said? Hear ye, we will keep the votes of the great state of Georgia. He didn't send it back. The legend held. All I wanted, and a lot of people wanted Mike to do, is send it back.
I'll say this. He's the only guy I've ever seen do an episode of Drunk History stone cold sober. Trump is referencing a debunked theory floated by his supporters that Thomas Jefferson somehow used his power as vice president, overseeing the counting of electoral votes in 1800, to make himself president, a theory disproven by, among others, an article with the headline, No, Thomas Jefferson didn't rig the 1800 vote count. It's a real sign of the times how many headlines sound like they should start with a big, old, heavy sigh. No, you can't cure COVID with Listerine. While we're talking about it, I just feel like it's worth pointing out that ticket sales for this Trump-O'Reilly history tour have been lackluster. Photos of the first event in Sunrise, Florida showed lots of empty seats in the arena, and the South Florida Sun Sentinel reported that many seats remained empty in the cavernous arena. The top level was closed, and ticket buyers were upgraded to the lower bowl. Yikes! The juxtaposition here is so revealing because it's a vivid demonstration of how deeply unpopular he is, which is why he needed to stage a coup to stay in power. And we have overwhelming evidence that that's exactly what happened. They did everything they could. Left no stone unturned, looked for every crack and crevice in our democracy they could possibly find. Their lawyers filed tons of bogus lawsuits and flew around the country trying to get lawmakers to overturn their state's results, forced an unnecessary recount in Georgia that confirmed Biden's win a third time, pressured the governor to call a special session to reject the votes, tried to send alternate slates of electors to D.C., leaned on the Georgia Secretary of State to find enough votes to overturn the result, tried to get the U.S. attorney to announce that there was widespread fraud, tried to get the Justice Department to declare that there was fraud, wrote memo after memo laying out steps Mike Pence could have taken to overturn the result, called up individual senators to get them to reject the electoral votes, and called Mike Pence into the Oval Office to personally bully him into rejecting the results. And when Pence said he didn't have that power, Trump even went so far as to say, but wouldn't it almost be cool to have that power? Did he say that while peeking over his sunglasses, risky business style? It's so disorienting for things to be both this dangerous and this dumb at the same time.
I'll keep this.
Oh, a bookkeeper.
Go burn the books.
Why burn the books?
There are too many bookmakers. The bookies are overrunning the country. Those are my orders. Hail, hail!
Donald Trump.
Wahoo!
Like, how are we supposed to process this? It was both a very real coup attempt that continues to pose a clear and present danger to our democracy, and also one of the dumbest things to ever happen. And yet somehow, things keep getting both more dangerous and dumber. Because in the last few days, we've learned some shocking new details, including the existence of a truly insane PowerPoint presentation that was circling in Trump world, laying out the steps for a coup.
Another shocking twist in the January 6th investigation now places a retired U.S. Army colonel at the center of efforts to overturn the 2020 election. The Washington Post reporting Phil Waldron, who circulated a proposal to challenge the election results, visited the White House many times after Joe Biden's victory. And during those visits, he allegedly spoke with former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, quote, between 8 and 10 separate times, worked alongside Trump's legal team, and even briefed several members of Congress on the eve of the insurrection about how to stop the election's certification.
This is that 38-page PowerPoint presentation, unlike any other PowerPoint you or I have ever seen, I'm sure. It includes options like the President Trump declaring a national emergency to stop that from happening. And the Washington Post is reporting that Waldron personally spoke to Meadows about this PowerPoint.
That's right. They wrote down their plans for a coup in a PowerPoint. Now, famously, Trump never writes anything down, but I guess he forgot to tell his underlings before they started emailing a PowerPoint around detailing their crimes. Even the mafia knows to use code words. If the mafia ever made a PowerPoint presentation, it would say something vague, like plan for the guys at the place to do the thing. Okay, boss, what's the next slide? There's no more slides. There's just the one slide. All of that weren't already insane enough. We also have this bizarre plot twist involving a publicist who tried to pressure a Georgia election worker into publicly confessing to bogus fraud charges.
What sure looks like another piece of the Trump coup plot is exposed in Georgia. Bombshell reporting from Reuters. A Kanye West publicist pressured a Georgia election worker to confess to bogus election fraud 2 days before January 6th. We come to a woman named Ruby Freeman. She is a Georgia election worker. She was smeared by, among others, Donald Trump, who mentioned her name 18 times in that phone call to the Secretary of State. A woman named Trevion Coty showed up at Ruby Freeman's doorstep. She said she was representing a high-profile individual who wanted to help Freeman. What Coty did not reveal is that she was a publicist to Kanye West, a Trump ally who himself ran a half-hearted campaign for president in 2020. So she agrees to meet with Kanye's publicist in a safe location, a local police station, where Coty outlined a threat wherein mysterious figures would show up to Freeman's house and put her and her family in jail if she did not publicly admit to stealing the election for Joe Biden.
The president and his gang tried every avenue they could possibly find to stage a coup to overturn an election. They came very close, and they'll try again. They tried so many things, even Kanye is apparently involved now, although he legally changed his name, so when Trump introduces him now, he probably says,
"Hear ye, hear ye.
Treason, Your Excellency. I caught this man walking down the street with a chicken."
"Blonde or brunette?"
"Quiet. Where did you get the chicken?"
"From an egg."
"Where'd you get the egg?"
From a chicken."
"A vicious cycle. We must kill it. Remind me to kill a cycle."
"Quiet. Put him in a concentrated camp."
"Go on. Go on then. Go on."
"On second thought, throw him to the lions."
"But we have no lions. How about the tigers or the cubs?"
"Or the giants."
"Why have we no lions?"
"Because there's no bones in ice cream."
"Well, we..." "How can I throw anyone to the lions when we have no lions?"
"Oh, don't worry, little fella. We'll get you nice, ferocious lions.
With long claws that scratch like this.
And long white teeth that bite like that."
The attempt to rewrite the narrative here is absolutely stunning, because you go back to a week after the insurrection. You had the House GOP leader, Kevin McCarthy, literally saying Trump bears responsibility for the insurrection. A lot of Republicans, including Senator Lindsey Graham, pretty much said they're done with this show. Now, he and the majority of the caucus, the GOP, have moved so far away from that position. And I'm curious, you know, just how much of that is because of Fox News hosts like the ones who were cited in those texts messaging Meadows that day, deciding to downplay what actually happened on January 6th, and to Garrett's point, trying to rewrite the facts from that day since.
Yeah, there was a brief and fleeting moment of clarity
among a number of Republican lawmakers on January 6th itself and the immediate aftermath of those who condemned what happened that day, condemned then-President Trump's role in inspiring it. And but with very few exceptions, most of them have abandoned that stance, now saying they're downplaying what happened that day, whitewashing what happened that day, because they are still in the sway of the former president, who is still the loudest Republican voice in the room, and very much so the favorite if he were to run in 2024.
As Minister of Propaganda, I
don't want to hear from you.
What's the matter with him?
For Trump's time in office, and with few exceptions, Fox News, and particularly a number of their on-air hosts, acted as his unofficial advisors, and time and again tried to play defense for the orange autocrat president. Case in point, their efforts to downplay January 6th as no big deal and full of perpetrators that were anything but Trump supporters. But now the January 6th committee has shined a bright, scathing light on their hypocrisy by sharing what these TV personalities were texting Trump's chief of staff as the Capitol was under attack. Now, it may come as no surprise to learn that it did not quite match what they were saying to their audiences that very night. Listen to what Laura Ingraham texted.
Quote, Mark, the president needs to tell people in the Capitol to go home. This is hurting all of us. He is destroying his legacy, Laura Ingraham wrote.
And yet, here is how she portrayed the Capitol siege mere hours later.
Now, there were likely not all Trump supporters, and there are some reports that Antifa sympathizers may have been sprinkled throughout the crowd. I have never seen Trump rally attendees wearing helmets, black helmets, brown helmets, black backpacks, the uniforms that you saw in some of these crowd shots.
They don't wear black. Brian Kilmeade made this plea.
Please get him on TV, destroying everything you have accomplished, Brian Kilmeade texted.
Ah, but then the morning news anchor made a late night appearance on Fox to say this.
I do not know Trump supporters that have ever demonstrated violence that I know of in a big situation.
And even Sean Hannity, the primetime host, whose former executive producer literally went into the White House as Trump's communications director for a time, felt the need to reach out to Meadows.
Quote, can he make a statement? Ask people to leave the Capitol, Sean Hannity urged.
But, of course, on his show, he downplayed the actions of those very same Trump supporters.
Like all Americans, we watched this small group of people that was pretty big, but compared to the overall crowd, it was not the majority of people.
No matter how they try to downplay or blame Antifa or the left or provocateurs or whatever, their texts tell the truth. Only Donald Trump could call off the insurrectionists because they were his insurrectionists. He is the one who called on those gullible, thugged out MAGA fans to bring the fight to the Capitol that day to try to overthrow a legitimate election. Period.
He's a little grouchy. Got up on the wrong side of the gutter this morning.
Shall we gaze into the magic ball and see what the future holds for you?
Come along.
I'm gonna take him up on the roof and overthrow him.
Whip out your magic ball, Maddie.
Ickle, dickle, bickle, mickle.
Why, that's an 8-ball.
Sit right down behind it. Yeah. The magic ball says you have not long to live.
Oh, goody.
Shh, shh, shh,
all out for Syracuse!
Wow!
Syracuse? This is where I get off.
Where is he going?
The boys from Syracuse.
Concentrate. Spirits are sending me a message.
No.
They are coming closer and closer. I can feel their magic touch.
Me too. Why, you double-crosser, you!
Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down. Anyone you want, but I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength, and you have to be strong.
Hey, how can you shoot it with dice?
They're loaded. Come on, Toots, we'll shoot the works.
We got to strike before she gets back and they gather an army.
What can we do?
We'll start a blitzkrieg.
Oh, goody. I just love blitzes, especially with sour cream.
Ich freue mich in ganz die Verzeihung gehabt haben. Ich darf mich nicht in Publik gehabt haben. Ja?
Ja.
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 Get him.
Thanks for the clips, songs, and excerpts this week from Husker Du, Tom Wamskins, Greg Hirsch, The Three Stooges 1940 film You Nasty Spy, Donald Trump, Logan Roy, Stephen Colbert, Kendall Roy, Seth Meyers, Eamon Mahieldon, Jonathan Le Mire, Joy Reid, Liz Cheney, Laura Ingraham, Brian Kilmeade, and Sean Hannity.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.